Let's begin. Everybody's like, we're on page 536. Okay, we're on page 536. This appears to be repetition from what it said. Okay, I'm page 534 in Pasuk Beis, it says something very similar. Ach Elokim dumi nafshi mimenu yeshuasi. And here it says, Ach Elokim, here it leaves out the El. It says, Ach, here we leave out the El Elokim. Here it says, Ach Lelokim. Is there a difference between Lelokim and El Elokim? So we have to see. So it seems at a very superficial level, it's exactly the same. But first of all, why is there repetition? Why is Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin basically repeating Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel? What is happening over here? And Pasuk Ches is a little bit different. This is something, a study which you can do in the entire Sefer Tehillim, where David deliberately, it almost appears, repeats himself, but there are small nuances. Like probably the most classic examples of this is Shiras David. Shiras David appears twice. Once in the very end of Sefer Shmuel, and once in Tehillim, which we learned a while ago in the beginning of the Sefer of Shiras David. We lay in Shiras David on Shavuot, on the Shvi Shel Pesach. The Haftorah of Shiras David is laid on Shvi Shel Pesach. And which one do we lay in? Do we lay in the one in Tehillim or the one in Shmuel? Of course, we lay in the one in Shmuel, because Shmuel we only lay in from the prophets. Asher bochar banavim tovim. But the question is, why is it repeated word for word? It's a very long song. And why is it basically repeated word for word, both in Shiras at the end of Sefer Shmuel, it's like the sign off of Sefer Shmuel, and the same exact thing appears in Tehillim. So there are very, very minor differences. Magdil, Migdol, the most classic one, as we say in the benching, we quote that pasuk. Migdol Yeshua Smalko, Magdil Yeshua Smalko, and there are another few differences. But the truth is, those small, teeny little differences make a world of a difference in understanding what David is trying to say. Unfortunately, we're not always equipped to appreciate the significance of these small differences, which make a big difference. Here, you don't have to go and cross the ocean between a Sefer Nevi'im, Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Tehillim, here in the very same Mizmah, in Mizmah Samach Beis, you have the first section, and then you come to the end of Pasuk Hey, and it says the word Selah, and we've learned many times that when you have Selah at the end of a Pasuk, it means this is the end, and immediately in the same Mizmah, we start up all over again, with Kamat, the same exact words, with teeny little differences, but the teeny little differences really represent much more significant concepts. So let's see. Over here, let's just note the differences, and maybe we'll figure out some significance. But first, note the difference. Over here it says Ach, and he is Ach El, towards Elokim. Here it says Ach Lelokim. Lelokim, you have to admit, has a connotation of a closeness. El means towards. I am at a distance. I'm in America, and I'm davening towards Yerushalayim. You're on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, and you're facing a direction. When it says Ach Lelokim, it means two. Even though you can argue it's the same thing, but it has a connotation. I'm standing by the Kosel Hamaravi, and I'm davening directly to Hashem. There is an intensity. Here it says Dumiyah. Here it says the word Domi, Dumiyah Nafshi. Here it says Domi Nafshi. One is masculine, one is feminine. Okay, and that's also a raya. You know, you say neshama, Menachem, you probably do a lot of this, not sevas, is neshama zohar or nekeva? It's really both. Okay, it's both, because you know it's used.
You have a bunch of words like that.
A lot of words, all right, a lot of words like that. So here you have the domi is lashon zohar, and dumiyah. Lashon Zachar, I mean, you could argue all you want, but some has more of an intensity. Zachar Nekeva, Zachar is a nice saying, Nekeva and Mekabel. All right, well, let's see. We'll just get the difference to look on the nuances of the Farshim. It says over here, Do mi nafshi ki mimenu tikvasi. From him comes my tikvasi. Here we change the word Yeshuasi to the word tikvasi. What's the difference? Obviously, Yeshuasi means my salvation, but the expression, the way it's written in the beginning of the Mizmor is a hope. I am hoping, mimenu, that from Hashem, it will come my salvation. In this expression, it says, ki mimenu from Hashem is my hope. He doesn't even mention salvation. Almost as if to say, it doesn't even make a difference. The goal is not that I should have a salvation. The goal is I should be connected. That's the goal. The goal is always a matter of perspective. A person has a problem, so he davens along Shmona Esrei. So you can look at it two ways. Why are you davening along Shmona Esrei? I'm davening along Shmona Esrei so that I should find Hashem should bring a solution to my problem. Or you can say, the reason why Hashem brought a problem upon me is because Hashem wants me to daven along Shmona Esrei. Everything in this world can be looked at two different ways. It all depends on your perspective. So is the earth, does the sun go around the earth, or does the earth go around the sun? So it all depends on your perspective. If you're sitting over here on earth and you don't know anything about science, and you look up from your perspective, oh, it looks like the sun is going around the earth. If you have a bigger picture, then the earth is going around the sun. If you come to shul, one guy says, where does this fellow sit? He sits on the left side. And the other one swears with his life that this fellow in shul sits on the right side. Not that contradiction. Where are you sitting?
You're gonna wrap my face in
this. Exactly. Which way are you facing?
I had that fight with my wife all the time.
Okay. Exactly. Are you sitting
on the left or the guy on the right? I said, I'm facing.
Oh, exactly. You're the rabbi. You're facing the Olam. So to you, the guy's on the left. And you're sitting in the audience in the Ezras Nashim, and you're facing the opposite direction. The guy's on the right. It's all a matter of perspective. In the beginning of the Mizmar, David says, I need a solution to my problem. And the long Shemona Esrei is nothing, is the means to get the solution. Here, it appears that this part of the Mizmar is a higher Madrega, where David is in a much more exalted level. What he's saying is, it's the problem, the reason why I have the problem, Hashem brought the problem, is because the goal is, because Hashem wants me to daven along Shemona Esrei. It's not that the Shemona Esrei is to take away the problem. The problem is because Kirvas Elokim, Hashem wants that closeness. He wants the person to make that connection. So it's all a matter of over here in the beginning. It says Mimenu, from Hashem comes Yeshuasi, the solution. And here it says Ki Mimenu, from Him is Tikvasi, is my hope. The problem is just so that I should grow in my reliance upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, people, they talk about this a lot. I hear this a lot today. People who follow, most people don't know what's going on in the world. For some reason, they completely shut themselves out. And some people, because we live in an age of technology and you literally have in front of you access to information like you never ever had before in the history of the world, and l'chayra, everything is the same. The world was crazy before and the world's crazy now. But people suddenly get swallowed up in following the news and they come to realize this world is really, really out of control. And the more people delve into this knowledge of what's going on out there in the world, they all come to the same conclusion. Our only salvation is Hashem. Is, you know what? You just got to let go and realize none of this makes any sense. And the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed the world to exist until this point in time. He will allow the world to exist. He will guide the world. And with all the mishugas, really? The world will go on.
So we just don't do anything?
I didn't say that. I didn't say we don't do anything. We have to do hishtadlus.
Yeah.
That's not implied
in what you said.
Okay, so I didn't say it correctly then. You always have to hishtadlus. L'nid neter l'malachei hasharis. You always have to do your hishtadlus.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're right that a lot of people live in a bubble and it bugs them.
A lot of people live in a bubble, but the people who, today there are a lot more people who are not living in a bubble only for one reason. Only for one reason, I can include myself in this category, is because you just have access to information. When you're younger, if you're busy the whole day, you're working, you're in school, you're doing things the whole day, so when do you get to hear the news? You come home at night and you listen to the radio, or you read a little article here. Today people walk around the whole day, every 5 minutes, they read the headlines and they become aware of things that years ago, the amount of information, it's infinitely more. And you get an appreciation of that things are happening, and you realize how vulnerable we all are, how vulnerable the world is, and many people come quickly to the conclusion is Ein lanu lihishoein ela al avinu shebashamayim. And it's interesting that today, like, you know, you want to go take these two sections. You can go look over here. When you think you're in control, then okay, Hashem is a tool that you use to solve an occasional problem. When you live in a bubble, then you have an issue. Okay, so you take out the Tehillim and you use religion as a solution to a problem, to find the problem. But then when you realize that the world is out of control, then Adarabba, you come to realize that everything that's happening in the world is Hashem's tool for us to acknowledge that Hashem is in control. Ki mimenu, from Hashem, is tikvasi. We have to fully rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is interesting. The pasuk has come out the same words, but we made already three nuances, three differences. There are really four differences, but one is it says Lelokim. And before it says Ach Lelokim. Number two, it said Dumiya, it's the feminine form. And here it says Domi. Or, I'm not even sure, there's another connotation that we'll see, maybe we'll see soon. And the next thing is the change of word between Tikvasi and the word Yeshuasi.
And above leaves out, above has Ki.
Right, Ki also, right, correct. Ki is Mimenu, and is it Ki Mimenu? Ki is it, here it says Mimenu, there before the Mimenu, here it says Ki Mimenu. Obviously, each little nuance is speaking to us volumes in trying to, it's a completely different approach to look, and what is the significance? We'll try to come see something soon.
Maybe speaking to a different listener?
Generation. He's speaking to a different, this is Al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh. According to the Rashi in the beginning, that this Mizmor is Al-Hadosois, is we're discussing primarily all of the enactments, the Gezeris of Shmat, that the Goyim have enacted against us, have issued against us, throughout all the generations. And we have the word Tzela, we're going into a time machine. And there's one era, and now we're discussing another era. The more things change, the more they stay the same, but you're older, you're smarter, you have more life experience, you've matured, and when you go through a new cycle, you go through a new cycle on a different level, a different madrig. Every time you go through the year, you come to a Yom Tov. It's not the same Yom Tov it was last year. It's a different appreciation. You've been there, you've done that, and now when you go through the cycle another time, you look at it completely different. That's part of life. And here we're going through cycles of Jewish history, and even though, like I always tell you, take out the Jewish press and read the cover article of the politics, if you can probably 80% of the time, you can fool someone, you take out the Jewish press, or even a New York Times article about the Middle East, and you read it, you can really think that you're talking about today. Today, what's the difference? The articles are just this one, did this, Iran, Egypt, Syria. You know this article's from 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. Do you realize this article that you just read was from 30 years ago? Really? I thought it was talking about what happened yesterday. Try it.
It did happen.
It's really, really true. So why does Hashem do this? Why are we going through this? If we would pay attention, it's not the same. It's true. On a superficial level, it's all the same. But there are nuances, and the nuances represent a growth, sophistication, maturity, a deeper experience, a deeper level of Yirat Shemayim. Okay, let's go further. Ahu.
What I'm learning is maybe when it says Elohim, Lelokim Domi, he's speaking to the people, and now he's speaking to himself.
Okay, that's also good. I am part of the Torah.
I think you're reading too much into that because you have the word ach. It doesn't go with other things. I think it's a reach.
Why is ach? Ach means only. Only Elokim. Ach Lelokim Dumiya. Nafshi. Domi Nafshi.
In there after ach. So, you know, I don't know.
All right. Okay. You have to acknowledge the question. The question and the difference is that these are come out the same thing in the same Mizmar, and there are small nuances. Let's go a little bit further. Right, I mentioned yesterday, many times Ach. Ach appears many times in this Mizmar. Ach, Pasuk Zayin, another repeat, it's in the second Pasuk. Ach, who? Tzuri, Vishuasi, he is my rock, he is my salvation. Miskabi, my stronghold. Loi, Emot, I will not falter. Now go back to the beginning of the Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Achu Tzuri, Vishuasi, Miskabi. So what is the difference? Exactly, is it exactly the same? Achu. Tsui, yes, same thing, Vishuasi, and Misgabi. The only difference now over here is, before it says Loi Emot Rabo. And that we discussed at length. What does it mean, Rabo? Here it says Lo Emot, period. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Alokim Yishi Uchvaidi. On Hashem is my salvation, and Uchvaidi. Now this is something different. This we did not have. This is something that is new. This is an additional elaboration. Only Al Hashem, upon Hashem. Yishi is my salvation, uchevaydi, and my honor. Tsur uzi, the rock of my might. It seems to be repetition. We had it before the word tsuri. And we have the word yishi. The only new word here in this sentence is kevaydi. And machsi, and my here is a new word. Machsi is my refuge, is bei lokim. Notice elokim is very prominent in this mizmar. In this passage we have Ach Lelokim, and then we have Al Elokim and Beilokim. Okay, like it sounds like the beginning of the Siddur. You look at the beginning of the Siddur, it tells you how to pronounce Hashem's name. There is Lelokim, with the Lamed, Al, or just, you know, Elokim and Beilokim. It seems that there, you know, these are prefixes. And a prefix in Machshava, it's almost like a relationship. Elokim is like is the noun, God, authority. How do you relate to it? How does a person relate to authority? Yeah, you live in a country, there's a government. What do? You hide. You don't, nothing digital. I don't want any digital imprint because they're tracking me. I don't want to put my money in the bank because who knows, they'll give it back to me. Who knows, they'll give the money back to me. So who knows if the currency will even be worth anything tomorrow. So I have gold bars. I have gold and I keep them in my mattress. A commodity, a world commodity. I can't deal with authority. And then there are people go to the other extreme. They're part of the government. If you can't beat them, join them. You're part of the problem. And then there are people that are somewhere in between, like most of us. Somewhere you kabdeyu v'chashdeyu, Elokim, the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the shame, that's the pure sense of Hashem. Bereishis Bara Elokim. How do you relate to that? Well, there's Beilokim, there's Leilokim, there's Al Elokim. These are different forms of connection. The connection man has to Hashem. Every person relates to Hashem differently. Kishem she'ein partzufeim shavos. Just like there are no two people, there are 8 billion people currently in this world, and of the 8 billion people, there are no two people that look alike. Isn't that amazing? How could it be? How could it be? There are no two people that look alike. Okay, you go to a factory. They make how many cars on a run in every single car is exactly the same. Exactly the same. Maybe they paint them a little bit different colors sometimes. Exactly the same. When the Ribbono Shel Olam brought now currently 8 billion people, there are no two morning on my wall. There are no two people in the world that look alike. The same way there are no two people that physically look alike, there are no two people in this entire world that think alike.
And when it seems here that the measure of the closeness to the person, to
okay, that's what we're saying. Okay, how close means your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much you rely upon him.
It's further away. It's different kind of...
Yeah, right, that's what we're trying to say. There's Beilokim, Alelokim, and Leilokim. Yeah. three different relationships. Elohim is the purest form of Hashem, and every single creature, I said the same way, no two people look alike, no two people connect to Hashem the same way. Every person has a different relationship with Hashem, how he makes that connection. And here we're giving you three examples. We have here, I think in total we have here four different words. I mean, it's really going back to what we said before. We have, maybe even more, because you can say the word Domi. Okay, look at the different words that we use to describe, not just Elohim, Le'elohim, Alohim. Look at the word of the word. There's Domi, which is a word which we explain means hope or silence, which go together to a degree. And then there's another word. Then there's Tikvasi, that's two. There's Tsuri, three. Yeshuasi is four. Miskabi is five. And then Kvoidi is six. And Machsi is seven. There are seven different words. I said Yeshi. One more time. There is Domi, Tikvasi, Tsuri, Yeshuasi, Miskabi, Kvoidi, and Machsi. Okay, there's a little repeat over here. There was some repeat. Oh, there's also Uzi. Uzi is another word that did not appear before. Right, so it's eight. Eight. Uzi. Eight words. Eight, a sequence of eight words with a little bit overlap, a little bit of repetition, and these three psukim, eight words, all of them, you can translate the same, to a degree. I just have hope in Hashem. What? Uzi umu uzi, in the Haftarah. Uzi, which Haftarah is that? Uzi Hashem, uzi umu uzi. Mersky, wow, look at that. Uzi umu uzi. Eight different words. Eight different words, which, you know, like we always say when we learn Targum, and after we learn Targum, the Targum, he more often than not, he simplifies one of the simplest languages. Lashon HaKodesh is a very small language. From all the languages in the world, it is Lashon HaKodesh is probably the smallest, one of the smallest. Does not have all that many words. And you would think, you know, they're not that many words. So if the Targum in one place says Tzareves, if the Pasuk says Tzareves HaShchin, and then it says in the next Pasuk Michyas HaMichva, so you would think the Targum would translate the word Michyas and the word Tzareves differently. No! The Targum does all the time. He takes two completely different words and he translates them with the exact same word. Roshan, the mark. The mark of a boil, the mark of a burn. What do you mean? How could the Targum do that? If it says in the Pasuk Tzareves.
He does that with Teyoseh and Yeyoseh.
All the time, but even more complicated words. Here's a really good example because these words they have nothing in common. The word Tzareves and the word Michyas. Michyas, we translate as the healing. It's the healing of the burn. Tzareves we translate as a scab. A scab is also part of the healing process of a boil. And the Targum says, no. These two words, which have nothing in common, not even one letter overlaps, guess what? They mean exactly the same thing. Roshan, a mark. And that is one example of hundreds, not hundreds, but the Targum, his goal, he's on a mission to take the Hebrew language, that is a very small language, and make it even smaller. And to minimize it, a minimalist in technology, there are all these different things, apps for minimalists. The Targum was the ultimate minimalist of making things. So, you know, if you wouldn't know better, you would take all of these eight words and you would give it one word, one translation for all eight words that are all, because that's really what they all are. It's all a representation. A person comes to acknowledge that only Hashem, Ein Oid Milvadai. Ein Oid Milvadai. Someone told me a story. I know there's someone listening online that knows the story, where there was a young child from Lakewood, went to a doctor, and the doctor was a big doctor, and the doctor was like, you know, asking questions. I said, what do you do when you have this intense pain? A goyish doctor. So this little girl in Lakewood, who's, you know, like, mom, I don't know how old she is, 6, 7 years old, she's maybe a little older, I don't know. She says, I think, Ein Oid Milvada. The doctor says, what? When you're in pain, what do? I think there's only Hashem. So they taught her in Lakewood, in Beis Yaakov, that Ein Oid Milvada. a very holy child. And she tells this to the doc. I think Einod Milvada. Doctor's looking, what? So you can take all of these eight words and all means the same thing. Ein oid milvada. Ein oid milvada. One second, I'm getting a message here from the computer. The artificial intelligence is telling me here that I should do something. They're going to lose me over here. Okay. Mr. Cohn, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Mr. Cohn. He's an amazing technical engineer. Every day he sets up the computer with precision. I couldn't do it so good. So thank you very much. He's the one that brings all the technology over here, Mr. Cohn, every single day for us. Thank you very, very much. Okay, so here we go. So this is eight words. Now let's take a look at the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David. Okay, there's really even more. If you really want more words, let's read another pasuk. Look at the next pasuk. Pasuk here says bitchuvo. Okay, another in the word number 9, bitachon. Okay, what's the difference? All these words bitchuvo v'chol es every moment, a nation shifchu lifanav levavchem, a nation pour before Hashem your heart. Elokim machaselanu, Selah, he is a refuge for us. And here we come to the end of section 2, Selah. There are three sections in this mizmah. The Malbim told us this in the beginning of the mizmah. There are three sections. And here, if you want to add in other words, we have word bitkos number 9. Now, you want to say shivchu lefanav levavchem, that's not really an expression, that's really an instructions. Daven to Hashem, pour out your heart. We had the word machsel already. We already had that before. We had machsi belokim. And another. By the way, here's another Hashem. See, in this Hashem, there is no prefix. Before there was Lelokim, Alelokim, Belokim, and here it just says Elokim, Stam, Shivchu lefanav levavchem, Elokim. It doesn't have any prefix. Elokim Machzlan, but when it says Hashem's name, it doesn't say, there's no prefix. Maybe that's more of an expression, but there's no, all the other ones have expressions. Lelokim. Al, there's a Mesek. Al Elokim. The Mesek connects the Elokim to the Al. Al Elokim. There's Belokim. Here, there's no prefix. There's just Elokim. And so we have, in summary, four.
That's the reason why. Because Elokim Machzelah.
It's the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle.
According to a Marsha on interpreting David's use of language for these kind of things, it's that everything that he's had that gave him good fortune about anything that happened, sometimes you just say, I thank this person for helping me, this person. Marsha says, David HaMelech realizes that everything that happened in his life emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's where he prefers it to come from. You may think somebody, a human being, helped you. It's not so, and that's part of Al Tiftachu B'Nedivim, because even when somebody, a human being, appears to help you, it's God engineering the whole thing behind the scenes.
Of course.
That's why David HaMelech is using all the time, you say so many times Elokim, he's emphasizing the fact that no matter how you look at it, it's
Ein Od Milvado.
Right. It's all him.
Ein Od Milvado. So Tzacha called 9 words and 4 different ways to relate to Hashem. Let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos David Pasuk, going back to the section, Pasuk Vav, these 4 Pasuk, Pasuk Vav, Mitzudos David, on page 537. Vav, Ach, Eineni Choshesh Lohem, I do not have any regard for them, for mankind. My salvation will not come from human beings. It comes only from Hashem. My neshama has a yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki mi'olam bali tikvasi mimenu. The same idea he said before this, the Mishita, Dov is always looking into the past. He's looking back to use the past as a springboard to get him to survival for the future. Pasuk Ches, Alelokim, return Eloi, Mahaloi, Alelokim, Mutol Yeshuasi, it is dependent, my salvation, Ule Hashir Oisi Bichvaidi, I should remain in my honor, I should be dignified, Ki Hu Hiv Tichani Al Hamalucha V'Yolov L'Kayim. This is another theme which is not obvious, and David, and Mitzudas David brings this out many, many times, that David is always demanding from Hashem that Hashem come through for his promises. Hashem promised me that I will be the melech. He promised me I will be the melech. And things are not going my way. They're trying to kill me. I have a lot of trouble. I have a lot of opposition. Hashem, you promised. Nu, what's going on over here? You promise and you have a duty to fulfill your promises. He always adds that into the Mitzvot Tavid. He continuously adds that into the parish of these two concepts. Going back to the past. If I got through the past, I'll survive the future. And you know, Hashem, you gave me guarantees. And it's your duty. When you say Tehillim, you don't really get that sense of those concepts. You just go, you know, you read Tehillim after davening, or on different occasions, you say Tehillim, you know, you just read the Pesukim, Hashem, save me, help me, you're the source of my salvation, and you have to do this. You don't get these two concepts. But the Mitzudis David does not let us forget that he understands that's what these Pesukim really mean. Pasuk next words are Tsuri Uzi Hu Ma'amitz Kochi. He strengthens me, Ulazeh, and therefore, because he provides strength, that is why only in Hashem do I seek refuge. Ulazeh Echesebo. Next pasuk on the next page. Next page, pasuk Tes Atem Bnei Ami, you my nation. I'm giving you good advice. Bitchu Voy V'chol Eis. Have faith in Hashem at every single moment. In Ace, what's the difference between the word Sha'ah and the word Ace? Very, very hard to define the difference between these two. We say that Adam Koine Elamai B'Sha'achas. Sha'achas clearly does not mean an hour. Okay, we colloquially translate the word Sha'ah as 60 minutes. It's not what it means. It means Sha'ah means a moment. There's a moment. How long is a moment? It depends on the context. A moment can sometimes be a day. A moment can be 6 months. It can be a tekufa in the person's life. A person goes through an experience, and the experience can last 6 months. The tekufa can last a couple of weeks, can last a couple of years, can last a decade, or it can last even 1 second. Sha'achas. Sha'achas means an event, a life-changing event. Person makes a decision. He's presented with a dilemma, and he makes the right decision. And that right decision is koina olam haba. On the other hand, we use the word Sha in the Gemara more often as you know, in the world of Halacha, as a defined period of time. An hour, 60 minutes, or Sha Zmanios. Now, whatever you're going to say the word Sha means, you're now going to be put up against the wall. And again, what does it mean in Ace? What's the Chilak in Ace? In Koheles, Ace Lifkois, Ace Lirikoid, Ace Lechabek, Ace Lirik Mechabek, Ace the 28 Itim. There are 28 Itim. Right, what is it? There are 20 in Sefer Koheles. So what does it mean, Ace? What does it mean there, the word Ace, relative to the word Sha'ah? Why didn't Shlomo HaMelech use the word Sha'ah and not the word Ace? I don't know, you got to think about it. What exactly is it? You can't say, L'chol, you say Ace means a tekufa. It doesn't mean a slice of time. But Sha clearly also doesn't always mean a slice of time. It means also, more often than not, it means the same type of thing as Ace Lirkoit, Ace Livkois, Ace Lechavek. It also means, okay, so it's not so easy to define these words. So you say it together. So, you know, what does it mean? So in the context, we have a rule. In Hebrew, you cannot hold a word accountable. Okay, it's a very good, Hebrew is a very good language for America. You cannot hold a word. A word in Lashon HaKodesh, we come across this, is an abstract concept. And it is definition is defined based on its immediate context and the words that it's associated with in that particular verse. And what it means in one pasuk is not what it means in a different pasuk, not what it means elsewhere. In the all other languages, words are defined, and they have rules. You go to the dictionary, and it tells you this is the precise meaning of the word. You want to use it differently? It may take a generation until they'll add a new definition into the dictionary because people have decided to use it in a different way. The word, do you ever hear the word, we want to grow our business? Okay, no one here grew up, if you would write that when you were in elementary school, let's grow the business. What do you get an F? To grow is, you know, that's not the way, this now, it's an official term. to grow the business. It's a new development in language. We all understand this. In Lashon HaKodesh, you don't do that. In Lashon HaKodesh, words are abstractions. And words have to be defined in their context. Here we have Bitchu Voy B'chol Eis V'Shifchu. And this is very important in this context, because here you're dealing with over here, with relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what exactly this means. V'Shifchu L'Avchem L'Fanav B'Tfila. Pour your heart before him, so the mitzvah is betfila, ki hu machselanu me'olam, same exactly. So he never wants to deviate from this, from the mitzvah David. When it says here, ki machselanu, machselanu, the average person does not add the word me'olam in their translation, in their mind. It means, because Hashem is our refuge. That's what we're taught. We're brainwashed that Hashem is our refuge. So David, that's not what the mitzvah David says. Hashem in the past, when I reflect back on my life and I realize that Hashem was the only one that took care of me. So I'm now going to use the lessons of the past as a tool for me to get through the difficult situations that I'm presented with now in the present and the future. He was from Me'olam, from time immemorial. And in fact, it seems like he's touching the word Sela. Sela is another word for forever. And this is another idea that we talk about many times. The word forever, most people will tell you, when you say forever, what does it mean? They'll translate from now until the end of time. No, the word olam means backwards. Backwards. It doesn't only mean going forward. In our minds, we're brainwashed, olam means going forward. No, olam sometimes means going backwards from the beginning of creation. And it can also mean going forward. It can mean both.
May
olam ve'olam. So some the Gemara says olam hazeh olam haba. It doesn't necessarily mean backwards. It means olam hazeh now, and haba. But everything is the future. Or as you say, may olam, it means backwards. Olam, many times when you accept that reality, the word olam can mean backwards from the beginning of creation. It changes the pshat in the pasuk. And here, Sela is a synonym for the word Olam, and that's to agree what he's doing. Let's see Rashi. Back, these four psukim passed back on page 4, 536. Rashi, there's not much Rashi over here. There's nothing on this page, in fact. There's no Rashi over here. Let's look at the Radak. We should look at the Targum, but let's look at the Radak first. Radak, Pasuk Vav, starting with Vav and Zayin. Ach, we have to, Ach Elokim. Al Derech Vatsas. Al derech v'atzas v'sham rochakam mimeni. Okay, only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does the single word? I don't know what he means over here by this. Avol nafshi al tihi ba'atzasam ella. I guess ach means there's a rejection. Whenever you have the word ach, it means there are other people that do things differently, and I hereby state that I reject. Here, when he learned the Radak is saying a chiddush. Ach doesn't just mean like an intensity. You would learn the word ach is like he's putting it in bold and underline and in italics and in a stronger font. That's ach. It's an ancient way of putting the text in bold. That's all it means, right? It doesn't mean anything. No, ach means I'm hereby rejecting society. I live in a world. And in the world, this is the way that people do things. Koichi v'yoytzem yadi. I hereby am coming to reject society. Ach is not just bold, underline, you know, in italics with a different color. No, that's not what it means. It means there's a whole world out there. And they do things very differently than we do things. They have a whole system where they believe in themselves. They believe in themselves. Someone yesterday said, someone, what's the difference between today? And I went to what he was saying, and he was reminiscing about the past in this neighborhood. He used to grow up over here. So I said, what's the difference now? So he said some really nasty things. And then he said at the end, there's another difference. The people today, they believe in themselves much more than they believed in themselves in the past, in a bad way. Years ago, people were, he's really easily telling you, argue wrong, right or wrong. They were very unsure of them. They were very like vulnerable. They felt vulnerable. So today, people, they feel very comfortable with themselves. They feel very, very, they believe in themselves. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. There's a certain confidence that some people today, the average person, a certain, you know, gaiva.
That's how they give people advice. You know, trust yourself, do what you feel.
Okay, it depends to different degrees, the balance.
They try to tell you to get rid of your guilty conscience.
Ach here is David's rejection of society. That's how the Radak learns. Al derech vatzas rishoim rochakam many. He's introducing this pasuk with another pasuk. The wicked do things their way. Ach, I hereby reject their approach to life. Avol nafshi al tihi ba'atzasam. El elokim levado domi v'yochli. I have hope. Ki mimenu tiyetik vasi lo ma'acher, not from anyone else. So who yatzlin mihem umachshav some, he will save me from their evil plans and plots. V'chof al od, he repeats himself. V'omar achu, another ach, achu tzuri l'chasek ha'bitochonu bo, v'eftach bo sh'yeh oid miskabi, in the future he'll be my stronghold. Shaloi emot kolol, period. V'zeba tzeis me'agolus, and this will be mitzeisi me'agolus, l'fichach v'fol zohar z'oh. Now the Radak comes to touch upon acknowledgement that we are dealing over here with what appears to be repetition. And he says here, this is bitsei si mehagolos. He's saying over here, in one word, the difference between these psukim, these four psukim that we're learning now, and the psukim pasuk beis, gimel, dalet. And I guess hey as well, and that is those psukim are dealing with the beginning of galus or the middle of galus, and this is the final round, the last inning. This is the ninth inning. The game is over. When the ninth inning is over, if there's no tie, the game is over. This is bitsei simei hagalus, and this is his interpretation. Okay, you have to explain what the difference between these series of psukim, which are identical, at least in the first two psukim. One is the beginning of galus, and one is the end of galus. And he only touches upon one expression, loy omut rabo, I will not falter a lot. But that has a connotation. We discussed this yesterday. A little bit, I will. You can't ignore the fact that how many members of the Jewish people are no longer here, have been murdered in the Crusades, the pogroms, Holocaust, Inquisition, and how many people have assimilated, have completely left Klal Yisrael. The numbers are staggering and frightening. And you read Vachamushim Olu V'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Ma'isav Asim Labanim, only 1/5 of the Jewish people survived Egypt. And you really wonder, when you go look through Galus, can we even say that we're here today, that 1/5 of the people, Klal Yisrael, are still here from the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni? How many have been killed? How many have assimilated? How many have been forced? They've been denied religion. And I'll give you an example. This is a very interesting thing. I saw this recently. Read this recently. Is that you talk about Jewish history? There's one era that is given a lot of emphasis more than other eras, and that is the Malchus of Menashe and Amon. In Sefer Melachim, Menashe and his son Amon, Chazal really come down very hard on Menashe and Amon. They say Menashe has no chelik in Olam Haba. There were many wicked kings, and some of the kings were just so wicked, it's beyond belief. Why do Chazal come down with a very great intensity on Menashe and Amnashu? So the answer is, Menashe, this is what I saw, you know, I don't remember who said this. I don't remember, I saw this very recently, I don't remember, well, maybe it'll come to me in a second. Menashe was a king for many, many years. How many years?
55.
Amon was 57. It was a period of 57 years. And the way they explain this, and you can put this in context with what happened a couple of weeks ago, it was Shalom Aleichem, when the protests, is it was basically three generations. You know, a generation, you have to define what's called a generation. 25 years, 30 years, 40 years. But this is it. Three generations. When you have a break in Jewish history where three generations are not observant, the chances and the ability to bring them back are almost zero. L'mashal, look what happened 2 weeks ago in Eretz Yisrael. Violent protests. The judicial reform. They came to put 1.5 million people participated in the protest. Who comes? The Chilonim. They come to Bnei Barak. Where better could you go protest? It's very funny. In Bnei Barak. So what do? Not everyone. There was some violence there also, but they went. Many people, they set up tables, give food, water, whatever, and they played music. And they played Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. You know, the traditional classic Shalom Aleichem of Friday night. And there was an older person. Everyone saw this. If you didn't see this video, you're living under a rock. And it's just... They're coming to Bnei Barak. So Shalom Aleichem. Greetings. So they sang, they play on the loudspeakers. Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashem, Malachi. And there was a person, he looks to me like he's in his 60s. I don't know how old he is. Wearing a helmet, even older than... Wearing a helmet and wearing whatever, with an Israeli flag, whatever. And all of a sudden, he melts. He melts. He hears Shalom Aleichem. It took him back to his youth, obviously, to probably his grandparents, and it touched him in such a powerful way. He broke down. You got to see the video. You got to watch the video 100 times to take it all in, this video. He broke down, and with such devekus, was singing Shalom Aleichem. You know why he was able to do that? Because the Chorban wasn't three generations. It wasn't for him, at least, even though it's 75 years since the State of Israel was established. 80 years, but for him, it wasn't three generations. Right. He may have been completely irreligious the vast majority of his life, but obviously he saw grandfather. He saw something when he was very, very young that made a very strong impression upon him. And now, in his mid-60s, or even older, he was able to go back to that. But if you rebel against Hashem and allow three generations to pass, where a person comes to protest and they hear them playing Shalom Aleichem and they never had a grandfather, an old grandfather, that they saw sing Shalom Aleichem Friday night by a Shabbos Suda, this wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be possible. There's no spark in them to rejuvenate them. When three generations, this Tekuva of Menashe was, Amon was 57 years. And it's one thing when Jews rebel, they're not observed, they have a wicked king for 20 years, for 30 years, which was very true with all the different kings, different Tekufas. You know, every Tekufa, new king, this, that, they went back and forth. But to maintain a malchus of where they deny religion for three generations, and now someone comes along and tries to resuscitate, resurrect the atzamas hayveshos, it doesn't go. Because there's nothing to work with. There's nothing to work with. You gotta have a little lachluchas, a little something. And if you don't have, you're in a lot of trouble.
So Chuk HaMeshulash works both ways.
Right, yeah, you need there something to work with. So you're dealing over here with in history, Jewish history, you know, when the Goyim have attacked us, you know, the czars of Russia and the commune and all the whole Jewish history, when long periods of time have passed where Jews had no shaychus to Yadus, it's very hard. A lot of the Russians who came to America, people went and they moister nefesh when the Soviet Union fell apart. And they brought into America thousands and thousands of Jews to America, and they spent crazy amounts of money to bring these people to, you know, to Bechoz and Beshuva. The vast majority, it didn't work.
Right. That was Menashe himself was able to do tshuva, some say, because he saw by his father,
he himself saw something, right, he himself. But his generation didn't.
No.
57 years. 57 years, many people... If you let three generations go, it's bad news. And you see that in Jewish history. The Russians came. I know people, they went, you know, they felt a certain guilt. You know, here we have everything, and they took in Russians to their home, And at the end, after they spend money and so much time and effort, and they come every Shabbos to the Suda, nothing. Not even their children. Nothing. They just took everything, gone. You can't blame them. They had nothing to reflect upon. If those, the people who came, they remember their grandparents, and they would come to America, and someone comes, there's much more to work with. But if you don't have, it's frightening. So here he writes, the miracle of Gula. The Gula is that during Galus, it's le'omut emoit rabo. A lot. But a little collateral damage, there's going to be. But he talks about the miracle of Gula. B'tseisi me'galus. When I leave the Galus, le'omut, period. They're going to be, everyone's going to come back. Is that really, everything is some true interpretation. Le'omut, period. Loy omut, here it's loy omut rabba. There'll always be. And here it says loy omut. Does that mean that the teshuva movement of the very, very end will be so powerful? Maybe. You know, are we living in the times of Ikzud Mashiach? There has to be a teshuva. They thought, you have to read the book about Rabbi Shuster. What was his first name?
Mayor
Shuster. Okay, it's a must read. Must read Meir Shuster article. Rabbi Rosen, one of their best writers, by Rabbi Rosenblum. He really came out of retirement. He hasn't written a book. He wrote his articles in the old papers. He hasn't written a book in many, many years. He put it. He wrote the biography of Meir Shuster, and it's a book that really fatiches the generation of the Baalei Teshuva. Today it's over, not over mamish, but today you read the book. They write there. There's very little activity today in the world of Baalei Teshuva. There was a movement. There was something in the world, a spirit of Teshuva back in the 80s. In the 70s and the 80s, there was this koyach that came down to the world to be choyzer b'shuva. And thousands of Baalei Teshuva. And today, you don't have, there are probably tshuva today, but it's few and far in between. You don't have, you go to the Kaisel today, you're not going to be able to take people home with you and make them into Baalei Teshuva. Just the book says it's Beferish, the end of his life. It didn't work. He had no customers anymore. And it's not the same. It's not the same. And so the question over here is, you read this Radak, does Radak mean to say that at the end, Shalom Aleichem, by Waldman. Rabbi Waldman? Shalom Aleichem. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Waldman is Rabbi Waldman from the Lower East Side. Okay. So this is an interesting insight from the Radak. There is the Jewish survival, our hope in Hashem, in the middle of Golus, where he says, loy omut rabo, and then there is bitseisi me'agolus, loy omut, period. I will not falter at all. There will be no collateral damage, there will be no loss. What exactly does that mean? Beyond me, what that means. Let's see over here what it says in the Malbum, on these psukim. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk, Chelik Beis. The Malbum divided the Mizmar into two parts, three parts. So now at the Chelik Beis, Ach Medaber al Nafshoi, he's describing his own neshama. Okay, that's the same. Fine. Doimi Ach Lelukim ki menu tigvasi el hayeshuhi mimeni v'chein hu be'emes suri v'yeshuasi pasaches al Lelukim return lemar hu mikava be'lukim yesha v'chavod shihi hamelucha. Okay, the Mitzudas alluded to that. V'ze ein Hashem mechuyv la'asoyz loy, ki yesh kama tzadikim shelo yasigu kavoyed kavoyed u'melucha ba'olam hazeh. Men, who is zoichet to kavoyed in this world? And melucha. Rak mitzad shehashem hiftiach loy es hamelucha. He's saying the same that the Mitzudas David said in a few words. Ach alokim yeshu yechavaydi, hu dava shirkim la'alatzme la'asoyz li, avul tzur uzi u'machsi sheyishmer oysi me'oyev, he's dividing up that every single individual is entitled to tsuri and tsur uzi umachsi. But not everyone is entitled to Yishi Uchevoidi. Okay? Yishi Uchevoidi is for the elite, David. But the average person is entitled to Tsur Uzi Machsi. Okay, next words of the Malbim on the next page. On page 538. Bitchuvoy om atem am bitchu b'Hashem ki abitachon b'Hashem yesh lo yisrael mibitachon al davar acher. Okay, now this is a beautiful thesis on bitachon. You want to write a PhD on bitachon? Here you go. Here you got over here your source material to write about bitachon. Aleph shabitachon al davar acher al bnei adam v'chadayim lo yiftach boy b'chol eis. Okay, here we go dealing with faith in Hashem. Human beings, sometimes yes, sometimes not. Like the famous joke from the Satmar Rav. What is Satmar Rav? You go into, back in the day, everyone remember those neon signs? Basar kosher. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Basar kosher. And neon, they blink. Basar, and it blinks. Kosher. So what did the Satmar Rav say? Why does it blink? Sometimes it's kosher. Sometimes it's not. B'choleis, you want it to stay on the whole time? No, sometimes yes, sometimes not, bossa. So when it comes to human beings are not reliable. They're not reliable. This is what you say, this idea, what he's saying over here, I think is very important because he talks about the next passage, we have this before, is kozov, is a lie. Now let me explain, this is very important, that we've said something said before, it's a beautiful idea, the ksuba. In the Ksuba, everyone here married? In the Ksuba, what does it say? It says, why do you hang up the Ksuba on the wall? It's a very ugly document. It really refers to death and divorce. However, there is one line in the Ksuba that's worth it all. It kashers the whole Ksuba. And what's that one line? Va'ano eflach, v'oiker, v'ezoin, v'afarnes, yosichi lichi. Kihilchois guvrin Yehudoin, the Folchin, the Oikrin, the Zonin, Umefarnesin Esneshehoin, Be Kushta. I memorized that. The Kushta. What does that mean? That I will give honor and support, different types of support, like Jewish men that give honor and work, the Folchin who work. You work and you give honor and you provide food and shelter. Like, and then you add at the after you repeat it, like Jewish men do, and you add one more word. Bekushta. With truth. It doesn't make sense. You write this in English, it doesn't make one word of sense. And with truth? Wait, the whole document is a lie? What do you mean? Of course with truth. That's an understatement. What does it mean, bekushta? What is that word doing there? So there are a lot of svarim that write that analyze the nusach of the ksuba, and it says in the Nitei Gavriel, he cites there, if you want to learn the ksuba, the safer to learn is Nitei Gavriel. On the back of Nitei Gavriel, he has a kuntres on the ksuba like none other, like mamish, like none other. How he goes through the ksuba and every prat and the way he actually breaks it up, fine. And he explains there what it means. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, but Nach, I don't remember the pasuk. Mayim kizuvim. This mayim, what does it mean? Mayim kizuvim, waters that lie. It means a well that sometimes there's water, and sometimes there's no water. There's a well. You come to the well. You come with your buckets, and you're expecting that you lower the bucket, water comes up, and guess what? Guess what? There's no water. You look at the well, you're a liar. You're a liar. You have bricks around the well, you have a bucket, you have a pulley system. You present yourself as if there's water. I lower the bucket, there's no water. You're a liar. Oh, but there was water yesterday. There was water 2 weeks ago. It's seasonal. This well, it depends on the season. In the spring, then there's water underground. In the winter, there's no more water, dries up. End of the summer, dries up. That is called Mayim Kizuvim. You're a liar. you're not reliable. You're inconsistent. There is a lack of consistency. A husband can say, listen, I will eflach, I'm going to work, the oiker, give honor, the eizoin va'afarnes yosichi lichi. But not every day. Not every day is my wife's birthday. I'm not going to give her honor every day. I'll give her honor maybe once in my life. Every day? I'm going to work for you every day? Every once in a while, I say to my wife, I'm out of here. You take care. You figure it out. I'm going on vacation. I'll see you in a month from now. You expect me to provide for you, to work for you, and to honor you, and provide food and sustenance every single day? Listen, I'm only a human being. I need a break also from this. I need a break from you also. No. Ki hilchois govern Yehudoyin. Not like the Welt. In the Welt, people married, yeah, and you know, they fool around. They do things, all different things. No, I'm gonna work, honor, provide sustenance, shelter, like Jewish men. And what's the difference between Jewish men and the Welt? Bekushta. Continuously. The word bekushta in the context of the Ksuba does not mean with truth. It doesn't make any sense. It means continuously, with no break. That's exactly what the Malbim says over here. The Malbim says, what's the difference when you have faith in man and faith in man and faith in Hashem? When you have faith in a person, you have a political candidate. When he does everything you want, one day, halavai, if you vote for someone, he should do even 10% of what he promises to do. Okay? Every day you're going to rely upon him. Every day you're going to rely that he's going to be there for you. He's going to provide for you. Sometimes he will. Sometimes he won't. You hope that most of the time he'll do what's in your best interest. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when you rely upon him, it's b'chol eis. It's b'kushta. It's continuous. That's the first principle of bitachon according to the Malbim. Bitachon in Hashem is not like bitachon in man. Man is sometimes he's in a good mood and sometimes he's not in such a good mood. By Hashem, there's consistency. Number two.
Could they be biased therefore to be Israel? Is that related to the concept?
Could be. Beis habitachon al bnei adam lo tuchlu legalis lo kol matzpuni libchem sheyesh dvarim sheyizbayish migalis bnei adam. When it comes to a person, when you rely upon a person, you can't go. I remember once someone asked me, I have a close friend, he asked me a very complicated question, a sensitive question. So I said to him, why, and he wanted me to do research and find out the answer. So I said to him, why are you asking this to me? I know who your rabbis are. So he said to me, I'm embarrassed to ask the rabbi. I'm embarrassed. I need to know. You were very close with. I'm not embarrassed before you. Help me with this. Find out what the answer is. I don't want to go directly to my rabbi and ask him the question. I'm embarrassed. He just said to me, plain out, I'm embarrassed. It wasn't such something to me, it was something such a big deal. I don't know why it's not. That's very true. He's saying, when it comes to, when you have faith in a person, you rely upon a person, sometimes there are things that you're embarrassed. You have a certain, you create in your world a certain relationship. And when you have to go and you have issues that are not so comfortable, I don't want to ruin, shake my relationship by having him know these dark secrets that I have. But when it comes to Hashem, there's never anything to be embarrassed of. Because Hashem knows it all. That's the Malbim's second principle. These incredible Yisoidas. They don't teach this in high school. When you give a shiur on bitachon. Number three, Shalukim machselon shavadam rak yiftach. There's a chilik, is the division between the word machse and the word yiftach. A person only has faith in man. Avol b'Hashem yimsa machse, a refuge. K'moy shekasov toiv lachasois b'Hashem. He is a great pasuk. Better to be lachasois b'Hashem mibetoch b'adam. K'moy shepirashi sham. Now, I guess what it means is, machse means you move in. You live with Hashem. Betochen means Hashem says, you're in trouble, here's a couple of dollars. Go to a motel. You're homeless? Here, I'll give you a stipend and you know, find yourself a place, find yourself some shelter. I have faith in you that you'll send me, you'll throw me a bone. Machse means Hashem completely takes care of you. Completely takes care of you. It's like, you ever see these guys on these guys on roller skates hang onto a bus? The bus is going, they want a free ride. So they grab onto the bus, okay? I have faith in the bus. The bus's not going to stop short and kill me. So you, machse means, why don't you come on the bus and sit down and relax? You're completely enveloped in the shelter of someone. When you have bitachon, it's on the outside. It's superficial. You need something here, hold on to the bus. I'll go 60 miles an hour and you just hold on your roller skates and hope you don't get killed. Machse means come on to the bus, sit down, take off your roller skates, relax. We have food. We have a restroom on the bus. Relax over here. It's a full service. Full service. Bitachon, I need this, I need this, I need this. It's a little benefit here, a benefit here, a perk here, a perk there. Who needs all these perks? Natural. Come on board. These are the three yesoidos that the Malbim says, the chilik between bitachon, pour out bitchu voy b'chol eis. And when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difference is, number one again, is it's continuous. Number two, there's nothing to be embarrassed of. Number three, it's a full service. Everything. When it comes to man, it's not b'chol eis. Yes and no. It's not consistent. And you're embarrassed. There are certain things you need, you're embarrassed, you can't ask for everything, and it's not a full service. You only get, it's hit and miss. Oh. Yeah.
You say in Hallel, it says,
right, that's what he quotes. He quotes that person.
Okay. But then it says, Tov lachzot v'shem, mitoyach b'divin. Even people that give you, even if the person gives
okay.
you.
It's,
no, right. Hashem's better.
Right, absolutely.
Even when the man gives you
everything, even when I give you everything, and which means generosity, he's giving you an abundance. There's always something missing. Okay, I want to do though also tomorrow the Likutei Shas. I thought we could do it today, but obviously not. So one little piece over here, and then we go on to section number 3 to wind down Mizmor Samach Beis. Take a short break. I want to welcome to the Shir, Rabbi Waldman, you hear me? Rabbi Waldman,
yeah.
Shalom Aleichem, I want to welcome you to the Shir. Welcome. Okay, take a short break now.